Why is it that millennials look so much younger than previous generations or even younger generations today? That's what we're going to talk about here on the Council of Trent. Welcome. Monday and Wednesday, we talk apologetics and theology, but Friday, it's free for all Friday. Talk about whatever we want to talk about. I will tell you this, I miss the days when people used to say how young I looked. I started working at Catholic Answers when I was 28 years old, and I would frequently be referred to as the boy wonder apologist. Oh, it's the boy wonder. I would chafe at that a little bit, but now I do kind of miss it. Because you go to a point, especially if you have more of a baby face like I do, you go from, oh, wow, you look so young, and then you have kids, and you go from, wow, you look so young, to, wow, you look so tired. And so that's fine. I mean, we all age. I think that sometimes our culture has a weird obsession with youth and beauty, that you'll have people just chasing after it, and they're not even willing to confront the idea of aging gracefully, or that one day you will stop looking young, and that's okay. There is a certain dignity in acquiring age. You know, you get to be a silver fox or a silver bell for a gray fox and a silver bell for men are gray foxes, women are silver bells, and that's okay. But when you go back and look in time to compare people at the same ages, it is shocking to see the differences. So you can do this. I mean, just go back, especially if you're a millennial like me. So somebody right now between the ages of, 35, sorry, not 35. Let's say, you're in your late 20s. I'll say 30 to like early 40s, millennial right now. And let's say you look at your parents. My parents, when they were 30, they were 40. You'll find all kinds of pictures online of people showing their parents, and their parents look like they have always been in their mid-40s or early 50s. Like from high school and college, like they have the comb over, the big thick-rimmed glasses. Just looking at them, you think, wow, they went from being a child to being 48 years old, and there was just nothing in between. It's really shocking when you go back and you look at television, though. So I'll give you two examples of that. Go back to the late 80s, to the early 90s, and you have Seinfeld. Okay, so Jason Alexander on Seinfeld, all right? How old does he look? Like, he looks like he's in his late 40s or his early 50s. I mean, it's because, like, his hair is pretty receded. You know, he's got the glasses. But he started that show. He was 30 years old. He was 30, 31 when he started Seinfeld. So that's a big one right there. Also looking at Kramer as well. The one that's really the clincher that a lot of people can't wrap their heads around. Go to the first season of Cheers, where everybody knows your name. That was a great show. But I mean, it was a little bit before my time. But I do remember it coming on and trying to watch it a bit as a very, very young child, young person. But still always enjoying the theme song, wanting to find a place where everybody knows your name. The cast of, like, the main cast of Cheers, they're all, the first season, they're all between the ages of like 33 and 35. So you think about especially like Norm or Cliff, who was played by John Ratzenberger. Look at Norm and Cliff. Like, they look like the same age throughout the series, but you go to like the first seasons, those guys look like they're 50 or in their early 50s, at least earliest, maybe like late 40s if you just looked at them. And yet they're like in their mid-30s. They're younger than I am. And that's always the comparisons we make. And other people have seen this, by the way. So there's all kinds of memes online. So there's one that's an anime meme, and it shows a guy who being 30 in the 80s. And it shows a guy with like receding hair, glasses, wrinkled face. He's like this like bad, like really cool anime guy. And then it's like being 30 in 2024, and it shows someone who looks like they're like a small child, like cherubim cheeks and, full head of hair. And it's just really, so people have noticed this, that millennials, especially people who came of age around the year 2000, I want to say it was people born between like 1982 and 97, like 82 to 97 be like the millennials. Now millennials have their own kids. That's Gen Alpha. But they tend to look young. You have some millennials, like younger millennials who had kids when they were younger. You've got millennials who look like they look like the friends of like their high school aged children if they're like older Gen Alpha. Look at Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, for example. I think she's like 36 years old, just a few years younger than I am. But she's like, she's 36 years old. She's already a grandmother. One of her kids already has a kid. And like, she looks a lot different. You go back in time, probably like see other politician, female politicians in their mid-30s, like back in the 50s. What explains that? So that's, here's the last one. It's more of a fictional example. How old is Homer Simpson? So Homer Simpson debuted late 80s, early 90s on The Simpsons. How old is he? Like, if you look, how old is he supposed to be? He looks drawn to me like he's someone in his late 40s, possibly 50s. He's bald, rotund, certainly not youthful. In the beginning of course, it's a cartoon, so the age fluctuates. There's some scenes where you see his driver's license that says he's 64 years old. But canonically, starting off, he's supposed to be in his mid-30s. Homer Simpson, if I asked you on the street, how old is Homer Simpson in The Simpsons? You'd probably say at least 40 years old, 45, maybe 50. He's 34 at the beginning of the series. It fluctuates between 34 and 38. I think later seasons have settled around 40 for him. But, 34 years old. I know it's a cartoon, but just, the shift of understanding, like in the early 90s, a 34-year-old would look like that. That's a healthy person. That's a regular dad. Another one you'd also look at, I think he's in his 30s, is Ed O'Neill, Al Bundy, on Married with Children. Love and Marriage. That was one I was not allowed to watch as a kid. Was not allowed to watch. My parents let me watch a whole lot of stuff as a kid. But Married with Children, they definitely drew the line there. Oh, Al. Woo! Oh, the days. So what are the theories? People have a lot of different theories. Honestly, for something like this, there's going to be a multitude of factors that are going to explain why millennials are aging slower than their baby boomer parents. Because remember, parents and children always skip generations. So the children of the baby boomers are the millennials. Gen X is the generation after the baby boomers, but the children of Gen X are Gen Z. So what's the millennials? One is probably smoking. If you look at statistical charts, like back in the mid-1970s, about 75% of high school seniors said that they had smoked cigarettes. Now that has dropped to 17%. Now it's cigarettes. It's going to come back later when we talk about, I'll talk about now when it comes to Gen Z, because Gen Z, people have also noticed that millennials age better. Gen Z is aging actually kind of worse than millennials, and people aren't sure why. And one reason for that may be that Gen Z is more interested in vaping. So they are still smoking, but instead of using cigarettes, they use vaping. And smoking definitely causes premature aging. Like if you smoke like one cigarette a day, it'll like age you. I saw some study ages you by like 10 years or something like 10 or 15 years. So if you like take, for example, the cast of Cheers, like the show starts in 1982, they're in their mid-30s. That means a lot of these cast members were born in the late 1940s, maybe very early 1950s. So they're coming of age and beginning, maybe destructive vices, probably, so let's see, if it would be 1950, 60, yeah, probably around the mid-1960s. So in the mid-60s, how well were people taking care of themselves? How well were people taking care of themselves in the 1960s? I think people were doing a lot of experimentation with things that they probably should not have that could age you. But definitely, smoking was just a standard and normal thing. So if only 76% of seniors, so that's the earliest I have this one poll that goes back is 1976. I'm sure if you go back in the 60s, you're going to find far higher levels of drinking. 92% of high school seniors in the mid-70s had consumed alcohol. Today, that's dropped down to 53%. So we know that smoking and drinking alcohol prematurely ages you, and that would have been for a lot of the baby boomers in the coming of age in the 80s and 90s. That would be in the 60s and early 70s when they start engaging this stuff. And, there's just a lot that can contribute to aging. So those substances, it could also be environmental factors. We have a lot less, there are a lot less clean air regulations back then. There's a lot more air pollution, honestly, back in the 1960s and 70s than there is today. Now we have more vehicle emission standards, for example, use of catalytic converters. I think that's going to play a role in a lot of cities, a lot of places where people live. Next one that people cite a lot is sunscreen. I think that's definitely a huge thing. You go back to 60s and 70s. I don't even know when sunscreen was invented, but it certainly wasn't popular back then. But as millennials, it was drilled into our heads like, oh, you got to wear sunscreen, got to put sunscreen on. And our boomer parents, I guess they figured it out after all their sun exposure. We probably should have worn sunscreen. And so millennials wear sunscreen. Millennial women frequently use makeup that has sunscreen built into it. So they put on foundation, or they put on sunscreen, they put on makeup that has an SPF blocking factor that has built-in sunscreen. I still worry about the sun. I love being a married dad because I go out now. I remember my dad, I didn't think of it much at the time, but I really am a dad now because my dad had the fanny pack. He had the floppy hat. And I go to the pool and I have a big, wide-brimmed gray hat with a strap under it to keep the sun off my face. I love it. I'm going to still try to keep young, you know, keep my skin healthy. And do I look like a total dork? I absolutely do. And do I care? No, because it's so freeing. It's so freeing. I don't have to jump over those dating hurdles at the swimming pool. Be like, hi, my name's Trent. It's good to meet you. You know, it's great. I don't have to con anybody to like going out on a date with me. Okay, so we have like millennials. We take care of ourselves more. And I think that millennials took care of themselves more than the baby boomers. And that's going to show just in our faces, basically, and in our bodies and in our weight. You know, I think that people who are slimmer tend to look younger. I was reading one article trying to answer the question, and it said that millennials have a different diet than the baby boomers did at their age. I mean, millennials grew up and had a desire for healthier food options. He writes, think avocado toast, quinoa salads, and an array of colorful smoothie bowls. These aren't just Instagram worthy. They're packed with antioxidants essential for maintaining a youthful glow. This generation has embraced cooking as a form of self-care, often experimenting with recipes that are as nourishing for the body as they are pleasing to the palate. Go back though to like 1950s and 60s. What were kids eating back then? Tyson Foods, TV dinners, highly processed foods. I think some food was fresher like in the 50s and 60s. But at the same time, you had the baby boomers growing up. They're getting, well, think about like a lot of the processed foods they're eating during that time. You're getting like, they had like Alestra for like low fat stuff that gave you not great gastrointestinal issues. There were a lot of foods back then in the 60s and 70s that were touted as, oh, this is, and there are all these like diet fads that were people were going on about that were actually really bad for you. Like, oh, you got to eat margarine because butter's so bad for you. Eat margarine. I can't believe it's not butter. Thanks, Fabio. Except now we learn that butter is actually really good for you. You should probably eat butter and meats and vegetables. And the idea was that, oh, we need to eat carbs. We had the food pyramid. I am surprised millennials don't look like we're 100 years old because we were fed the food pyramid. Make sure to have your 6 to 12 servings of grains with a pinch of fat on top. But you got to make sure you have that base of bread. I still remember the food pyramid in my parents' house when I was growing up. But though I think millennials, as we got older and we could choose our own diets, we valued things. And even eating things like fast casual restaurants, there are things that are not as bad for you. Like a Chipotle bowl, it's like, you know, it's beans, cheese, rice. It's not a ton of processed stuff in there. And the general moving away from a lot of that. And then, of course, you know, the stereotypical avocado toast, quinoa, kale salads. So it's diet, but I also think millennials have more of an affection for fitness than the baby boomers did. There's that great scene in Anchorman where he says, I've thought about taking up jogging. I mean, it's funny, jogging was something that was invented like a few decades ago, right? If somebody's running on the street, it's like, somebody call the police, like a criminal's on the loose. Why would you be running outside for fitness? And still, we'll go back to like, you think about like Mad Men, Don Draper, right? Constantly drinking whiskey and smoking cigarettes. I do think that in Catholic culture, the people who are part of the whiskey cigar circuits, if you will, like that's their big thing. It's going to come back to get them later, dude. It's going to come back to get you. It's shaving years on your face and years off your life. I might put it that way. But for fitness, the article says here, yoga mats, Pilates classes, and mindfulness apps are as common in their daily routine as coffee. So I think millennials do try to prioritize fitness, and they have time to do that because they've also deprioritized things like marriage. I think the boomers, like, why couldn't the boomers eat healthy and go to the gym all the time and do self-care? Well, because when they were 18, you know, they went and they got married. The members of the silent generation, that's the people beyond the baby boomers, that's the Joe Biden types. Come on, man, come on. I used to be young, that corn pop, he aged you, man. He's a bad dude. It's something like, you know, 83% of them when they're like in their mid-20s were married or something like that. And today it's less than half people ages 18 to 29 are married, and it's getting worse. So I think millennials, they age slower because, you know, a lot of them don't take, I've aged faster in being married. A lot of people have. I've seen that. When you're not married, it depends. If you're not married, you can sometimes not take care of yourself and you end up really like, oof, not doing great. But also, you can be healthier being married and live longer. Statistically, married men live longer than never married men. But you live longer, but you have wear and tear on you. You just have wear and tear from not getting a full 8 hours of sleep, eating like a toddler, just like grabbing stuff as you go. So I think that a lot of millennials look younger because they've put off life responsibilities like marriage, like children, which would start to age you because it starts to wear down your body a bit more. Your body's not your own. You have to be there to serve other people. Other theories are social media. So millennials grew up, and by the time we reached late teens, college, and beyond, we have a lot of social media advice, especially for women, Instagram, TikTok, Instagram videos especially, makeup advice, ways to look younger. So they would focus on that. And so millennials, even men, fashion advice, things like that, to dress in a way to look younger. Like a lot of baby boomers just look older because those fashions of the time sort of date them. So I think that millennials have that. However, Gen Z has that. But Gen Z is courting more things like cosmetic surgery tweakments. Not full treatments, but getting Gen Z is more open to minor cosmetic surgery, you know, to just fix little things on them. But ironically, when they do that, the lip filler, it's like, you're not going to look like Angelina Jolie. Even Angelina Jolie looks kind of like fish lips. I don't mean to be cruel, but, you know, puckered out. Like with the lip filler, my wife and I have noticed that tends to be a bit overboard. You don't need to use that much on you. So Gen Z is more likely to do, TikTok level cosmetic treatments or tweakments, very minor ones, that kind of prematurely age them to make them look a lot older than they really are. Whereas millennials just use the stuff just like makeup advice and things like that. Also, I think that there could be elements of lower testosterone, more estrogen. You know, you got birth control in the water. I think there could be hormonal differences. There's some theories that testosterone ages men faster. Testosterone is more likely to cause someone to go bald, for example, or have receding hairlines. So more of a ruddy face. And if men today have lower testosterone levels, they will just tend to look younger, have some of those boyish features will persist. Finally, there is prioritizing mental health. That millennials, I mean, baby boomers work that 9-to-5 grind. Working 9-to-5, onto something, make a living. Sorry, all you Dolly Parton fans, I don't have the whole thing memorized, but I do enjoy the jam if it comes on old country radio. But no, and Gen Z does this to far more of a level that I think is appropriate. But millennials, I think it was fair saying, no, I'm going to focus on balancing work and life, so I'm not just like driven into the ground. And I think that's a big one. I think life stress is a big one to keeping you looking younger. Like if you look at old films, like when they would take film cameras and record them on the street in New York in 1904, so 120 years ago. And these are really interesting videos. You can find them online. The camera's just rolling, film camera. You see black and white, and sometimes it's color corrected, colors added later, but black and white images of just kids in New York City on the street. And these are kids who are probably like between the ages of 8 and 12 years old, 8 and 12 year old boys. They look like they're in their 40s or 50s in the face. It's sad. It is sad. I'm not even sure. I think that might be, that could even be before, that's the one before, there is no name for that generation, but they were the ones who gave birth to the greatest generation, right? The people who grew up in the Depression, fought in World War II. These were their parents. And these were kids who like probably worked in canneries, in factories, in mines and textile farms, hard, hard labor, back-breaking, nail, you know, finger-breaking kinds of labor with little sleep, very little time for leisure and recreation, chewing tobacco probably, all sorts of unhealthy habits. And you look in their faces, like they look like they're like in their 40s and they're only like 8 years old. Very, very sad. So I do think that millennials have prioritized mental health awareness, taking time off, finding a work-life balance. So they're not just ridiculously overstressed. Though I do think that has created a problem with some millennials, that they're not willing to do hustle. They'll say, well, why don't I have what I want to have in life? Like, well, sometimes if you're going to have that, you have to put in that hustle in your 20s and 30s to really lock down the things that you want in life, career-wise, financially-wise. That's a subject for a whole other episode, and maybe we will put that in a future episode. So, the mental health thing. I wrote a note here. Like, think about, like, going postal, right? Like, if you told a millennial or Gen Z or millennial now, oh, don't want to go postal, they'd be like, what are you talking about? Whereas think about the baby boomers, there was always some disgruntled postal worker. Like, millennials, what we got stressed about was, like, school shootings. Like, if someone went nuts, they shot up a school. Though I think a lot of that happened. I think also Gen Z could be aging poorly because they have an unusually higher level of stress than millennials. Because as a millennial, we were not scared of school shootings, for example, because the most famous school shooting that happened for us was Columbine. That happened in 1999. So that was 4 years before I graduated. I'm an older millennial. So I would say that for most millennials, and then after Columbine, there weren't a ton of shootings after that, but that made the news. That was, you know, we watched that in school on TV. We watched the live coverage of that. Nowadays, who's going to stop at school to watch live coverage of a school shooting? You know, it's like, oh, you know, people say it's another day. Although school shootings are actually still incredibly uncommon. Children are in far more danger of dying driving to school or walking to school than being at school from something like a school shooting. But you see, but there's not that danger. But Gen Z thinks like, they're going to die from a school shooting. They're going to die in a terrorist attack. The world's going to end from climate change in the next 12 years. And they're so stressed out. I think it's really aging Gen Z. And the baby boomers are people that were stressed by other things in life, inflation, other stressors there. But I guess it doesn't explain, I don't know, because millennials also had the Great Recession. But I don't know. So it's multifaceted, but I do think that millennials have tried to balance life to really value. Like, I think where baby boomers might say, yeah, I'll take more money for a higher stress job. A lot of millennials will say, no, I'm happier with less of a salary if I can have more free time and more work-life balance. That's the big trade-off there, I would say. So, all right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope you have a very blessed day.